God, thank you. We love you. We bless you. Thank you for your word, Lord. My God, how we need your word. So we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, decaying world. God, we need your word today more than ever. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we navigate daily in a world that seems like it's gone crazy. God, we need you more today than ever. Yeah. Speak to us through your word. Make it plain. We love you, Lord. Thank you for leaving us the roadmap, the blueprint on how to live a successful, victorious Christian life. We have no excuse, Lord, because you left us the blueprint and the roadmap on how to live as we're waiting for you to come back or until we transition into your presence. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1, we're going to do a quick review, and then we are going to just continue on our lesson. This is Moses speaking to children of Israel. He's been instructed by God. Verse 1, he says, all the commandments which I have commanded you this day shall you observe, be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land wherein the Lord has promised unto your fathers. If you haven't already, underline your fathers, underline promise, underline possess, which means to own, be careful to do, underline live. God wants us to truly live. He wants us to multiply. God wants us to progress. He wants us to increase. But he says you have to keep all the commandments. If you don't have it highlighted or underlined, underline all. When I looked up in the Greek and the Hebrew, you know what all means? All of them. Amen. That's exactly what it means. And the commandments, when you look in the Hebrew, the Greek, is precepts and prescriptions. So God is saying, keep all my prescriptions, which I'm prescribing to you today, so you can live and you can possess, you can increase, and you can go into the place that I have promised you. They had a land. God's promised us. Jesus promised us life and life more abundantly. Make a note that a doctor will tell us to take certain medicines and we will do it. And God tells us to follow his prescription and we don't do it. So we won't say it out loud, but we will say it by our actions that we trust a doctor more than we trust God. You don't have to say it out loud. Your actions and my actions already show that I'll trust a doctor. I'll take that medicine. I'll take it at 4 o'clock. I'll take it at 8 o'clock. I'll take it at 12 o'clock. I'll do exactly the way it's prescribed. And then God says, I need you to live. I need you to keep my word. I need you to keep my commandments. And you say, well, it's not that important, God. I can do this and I can do that. And everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it too. God says all of them. Prescriptions on how to truly live. So here we are, verse 2. And you should remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness, a trip that should have taken 11 days. And I haven't figured out the math. I don't know if it was 11 total. But through the Red Sea was 7 days. All right? It took them 7 days to go from one end of the Red Sea to the other. And to the promised land, it should have been 11. So I don't know if that's 7 after the 11 or it should have been 4 more for a total of 11. I haven't uncovered that yet. But either way, this 40-year trip should have took either 11 days or 18 days, if my math is correct. But it took 40 years. It's a big difference between 18 days and 40 years. It's a big difference if somebody owe you $18 and they owe you $40. They come giving you $18. I need my 40. Okay? It's a big difference. But it took them 7 days. And so when they're walking across, it's amazing. When they're walking across the Red Sea, and I've been to the Red Sea, and trust me. As a matter of fact, it's beautiful. It's huge and it's beautiful. You know, some people say, oh, it was just a little. No, it's a big sea. It's huge and it's beautiful. But they say the water stood up. So as they're walking across, I guess they didn't have any doubt because they see the water standing up on the sides as they're going through on dry land. But as soon as they got over, it only took them, and I'm going to show you in just a minute, it only took them 3 days to start complaining. 3 days after they got from the Red Sea, they started complaining. We're going to talk about the five things that kept them in the wilderness. I don't know, we might get to one today. I think I kind of uncovered three before, but we're going to really unpack these things. Oh, my gosh. It was convicting me as I was going through. I was, oh, God, do I really have to teach this, Lord? So 40 years. Five things kept them in the wilderness for 40 years. They couldn't get it together. Number one is murmuring and complaining. And it only took them 3 days. How do you walk through dry land, water held up, the Red Sea, and then 3 days later you start complaining about God? I don't know. Maybe some of the same things. We get up in the morning. We make it through a miracle of getting up another day. And then next thing you know, we're complaining about something. And when we complain, what do we say? What you're really saying when you and I complain is that God doesn't know what he's doing. God, I could do a better job if. God's working on your kids. And you're saying, God, you complain about your kids because, God, I don't think you know what you're doing. But God said, I handled you, didn't I? And you remember when you were a kid and the mess you were. I'm glad I got one amen on that. Everybody else trying to forget it. Everybody else was born sanctified and set apart and holy. Not even close. So, but when we complain, when I complain about my spouse, I'm saying, God, you need to fix her. But God say, why don't you let me fix you? So in my complaint about my job, I'm saying, I don't even want it. I'm not even thankful to have a job. And then we lose perspective. You're not on your job to work. You're on your job to make disciples. So we lose focus. And so let me say this, church family. When this isn't right with God, then this is not right with people. When you're not connected to God and you're not listening to God and walking with God and doing your praying and your fasting daily, then this is going to always be a problem. Because when I'm in line with God and I'm praying and fasting, I'm praying for my wife, I'm praying for my kids, I'm praying for my church, I'm praying for my job, the business. I mean, nothing bothers me. But when I take my eyes off of God and I start looking at people, then everything bothers me. So I'm telling you now, and the word confirms it. Your only issue, my only issue, is am I lined up and connected to God properly? It's the only issue I have. Everything else is inconsequential. God will give you the wisdom on how to handle everything else when you're connected to him. And when I say connected, we've been doing this for years. We're, every morning we wake up before we have our first meal, we're praying and we're fasting. The men and I, we've been reading the Proverbs and we've been getting the wisdom from God because the word says that wisdom is more precious than anything that you can desire. The wisdom of God is more important than your job. I know I could get one amen. Thank you. I'm glad I got one. He said rubies and all this other stuff can't be compared to it. So if I get the wisdom of God and I'm connected to God, he tells me how to deal with everything else. Tells me how to pray, how to live, how to forgive, how to give, how to walk, how to talk, how to think. The word covers it all. So when this is right, everything else is right. Amen. So here we are, verse 2, we're in the wilderness. He said that God led us into the wilderness. Whatever your wilderness situation is, wherever you are in life right now, God led you there. And he tells us why. He said, I sent you there to humble you. So you know that you're not in control of your own destiny. You're not the master of your own ship. You're not the captain of everything that you do. So he sent you there to humble you so you can run to God and not run from God. And then he wanted to test you. So you can see and you can know, so you can understand exactly what is in your heart. Make a note if you haven't already, you should have already. The wilderness exposes your heart, what's really inside of you. It's the revelation. God sent me through this tough situation so I could see where I'm really at with God. If I really connected to God, if I really trust God, if I really love God, or if I'm going to go and do what I know that I need to do. He said, I sent you through there to see if you would keep my commandments or not. I sent you through the toughest time of your life, or either I blessed you so much to see if you would really keep my commandments as you're being blessed and you're being successful. Either way, we have to be obedient. God said, I sent you there so you will know. Verse 3, and he humbled us and suffered us to hunger and fed us with manna, which we didn't even know. Neither did our fathers know. He provided in the wilderness. God, make a note, God provides in the wilderness that he can make us understand that we do not live by bread only, but we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord God do we live. So I asked the question before, what are you living by? Make a note, ask yourself, what are you truly living by? Oh, I got a bunch of read this, so let me see if I want to read this. What are we living by? There's three things as Christians are purpose in life. Okay? Let me give you the three things so we have a frame of reference of the three things. You never have to ask God, what is my purpose in life? Number one, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Number three, make disciples. Anything else is a distraction, or either it's an opportunity for you to show that you love God, you love your neighbor, or you're making a disciple. That's all we're supposed to be doing. My job is an opportunity to show that I love God, I love the people on my job, and I'm trying to disciple someone. I'm trying to introduce someone to Jesus Christ on my job. When I go to the gym, it's an opportunity to show that I love God, that I love people, and I'm trying to find somebody to disciple and show and introduce to Jesus Christ. When you go to the supermarket, you're not just looking for that Diet Coke and those chips. You're showing that you love God, that you love people, and there's somebody in here I can minister to. Maybe that checker that I go to every time. I can invite them to church. I can ask them, do they know Jesus Christ, or what do they know about Jesus Christ? Everything is an opportunity. And that's it. Anything else is a distraction. Your business, your job, your ministry, those three things are first and foremost. You should never ask, what is my purpose in life? You've gotten off track. Get back to the basics. Don't complicate this thing. Told our youth when they go to college. I love them going to college. But if they're not going to make disciples, they're going to get caught up. And then the college is going to try and disciple them. And turn them into drug addicts and alcoholics. And secular humanists. You're not going to college to get a degree. Yes and no, you are. But you're going to show that you love God, you love people, and you're trying to disciple someone. So that's everything that we do. What do you live by? What do you live by? That's what you have to ask yourself. What am I really living by? So God sends us through the wilderness to expose our heart. That's the revelation. When God shows me what's really going on with me, then I confess it, I forsake it, and I surrender it to God. Now that it's been exposed, it's not going to hold me captive anymore. I've surrendered it to God. The other purpose of the wilderness is for us to be submitted to God. Christ was submitted to God in the wilderness. He was able to be used by God. Family, if we're not submitted to God, then we're submitted to something else. We worship God or we worship something else. There's no in between. There's no in between. So what are you living by? Okay, what do you exist? Feelings, gossip, rumors, emotions, impulses, social media. Check them off your list. What do you live by? What do you really live by? If it's not the Word of God, and you can't tell me it's the Word of God if you're not even reading the Word of God, because you're not living by the Word of God. Is it feelings? Is it gossip, rumors, emotions, impulses, social media, mainstream media, TV, radio, music, video games, your education, and please don't tell me the satanic horoscope. Please don't tell me that. The horror, H-O-R-R-O-R scope. Please, please, please don't tell me. Well, I get up and I read. Some people trust me inside the church, outside. They get up and they read it every day to see what is my day supposed to bring me. Some people read the horoscope before they read the word of God. Okay, Pastor. All right, I'm going to lighten up. Is it any holidays coming or anything? Okay, Happy New Year. What can I say? I mean, happy 4th of July. I'm happy Independence Day. Okay, let me lighten it up, okay? I'm telling you, it's going to get deeper. Oh, my gosh. I got to lighten it up. What do we have coming up? We got the picnic coming up next month. Okay, happy Thanksgiving. Yes, every day, Thanksgiving. Amen. This is just introduction, folks. I'm just getting warmed up. All right, okay. All right. All right, okay. All right, it says, read this. So, Kathy, I got to read it. It says, you and I are living by something. Most people live by the mirage and the deception of the world. Don't get distracted. Don't forget your God-given purpose. We live by trusting God in every aspect of life. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't live by what we see. We live by what God has said. We don't live by what we see. We live by what God has said. This is a journey of faith. Embrace God and bless him as you are on your journey. You're going to serve something or someone. You're going to listen to someone's voice. You are listening to someone's voice currently. You're listening to your own, the voice of Satan, or the voice of God. Those are your three choices that you're listening to. And two of them are really bad and one is the best. I'll let you figure it out. So here we are as we jump into the lesson now. So that's just the kind of introduction. Now, who's with Natalie? Are you with me this morning? Hey, man, Natalie. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 1. Now we get to the five things that kept them in the wilderness. Are we kind of? We'll see. I think we'll get to one. And that one is so deep, I'm not going to overload you with the other four today. Because you'll be falling out your chairs. I don't want to do that to you. I don't know if anybody will come back next week. So here's the revelation. All right, so let me just frame it. God told them he's taking them to the promised land. God has promised us a life, a complete life in Christ. An abundant life, a super blessed life in Christ. And it's on the other side of our wilderness experience. So here are the children of Israel. God's promise, it was 2.2 million of them. God's promised them this land. And they got in the wilderness. And instead of completing it in 11 days, it took them 40 years. And those was only two that were 20 years old and up that made it. And that was Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else, they just died on the way because of these five things that they chose to get involved in the wilderness. So think about it. All right, hear what I'm saying. They have a promise of a place where God's taking them. But they get in the wilderness and they get so comfortable in dysfunction, they forgot all about that God was taking them somewhere. So here we are, God's promised us life and more abundantly, and we're in this wilderness. What we say, the world is a ghetto, but we're saying the world is a wilderness. All right? And here we are, this wilderness called America and the world, and we'll get so distracted in the dysfunction of America that we'll forget the life that God has for us. And we will die here in our dysfunction and never make it to where God's trying to take us to. You'll never experience the complete life in Christ if you don't get through the wilderness, if you allow these five things to distract you. So here we go. The revelation, we go through the wilderness to get to the promise that God has for us. God could have parted the Red Sea and placed them directly into the promise if he wanted to. Hear that. God could have parted the Red Sea. Bam, there's everything I have for you. But he didn't. He sent them through the wilderness. God led them through the wilderness to expose their heart. You and I must go through the wilderness so we can really determine if we are connected to God. So where you are right now, remember, it doesn't have to be a bad place. It doesn't have to be a good place. It's your journey of faith is where you are right now. And God has asked you to look at your heart and see if you are really connected to me. Get connected to God so you can get through the wilderness to the life that God has for you. Don't get caught up in dysfunction, the dysfunction of this world, thinking that it's real. The ultimate wilderness is death. We all have to get there. We got to go through, unless Christ comes back and takes us, we got to go through that wilderness of death before we get to the presence of God. And that's if you're connected to God. If not, then you go through the wilderness and then you go into eternal separation from God. It's not good at all. We have to go through death to get to the promise of paradise that God has promised us. In that aspect, life is just one short or long trip through the wilderness to determine if you and I are really connected to God. And just like the children of Israel, everyone is not going to make it. Well, that's why I had to read that. And just like the children of Israel, everyone is not going to make it. The world is a wilderness that's going to expose your heart. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you to become comfortable in dysfunction. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you. Don't allow this orderly system of dysfunctional deception, this mess of a mirage, deceive you and make you miss the ultimate promise of God, which is paradise and heaven with Christ. Don't get comfortable in your confusion. Don't neglect God as you navigate through life. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you should be with me in paradise." Our ultimate goal is paradise with God. Make a note of it. That's Luke 23, 38 through 43. He said today. He didn't tell him, go get your life together. He didn't tell him you need to be baptized or to speak in tongues. He said, today you're with me in paradise. Because he connected his heart with God's heart. And the other one, the other criminal, he just wanted to make fun of God. The other one said, look, man, you need to understand, we're in the same situation. He's innocent and we're guilty. Remember me. And Jesus said, today, we're going to paradise. Somebody say amen. That's the connection to Christ. All this other stuff doesn't mean anything. That's why we love God. We love others and make disciples, because everybody's not going to make it, and we have to do all we can to help others make it. All right, so here we go. Wow. All right, no, we're not there yet. We got another revelation. Here's the worst thing about any type of sin that you and I... Here's the worst thing about any type of sin. All right. The sin prevents us from living the abundant life Jesus Christ has promised in John 10:10. It says, you and I can get comfortable doing our own thing that we think a sinful, dysfunctional life is normal, and we wander and wander in the wilderness for the balance of our frustrated and unfulfilled life until we die. We can get so comfortable in dysfunction that it just becomes a way of life. We can get so comfortable in sin. So look, and it's the sin isn't the problem. And I think I said this before, so let me try and make it as plain as I can. The sin is not the problem. It is a problem, but the major problem is that you're so comfortable there that you don't get to where God wants to take you. I'm not trying to judge you because you're shacking up. I'm just saying you're comfortable there. And that's sin, and it prevents you from reaching what God has for you. That you lying and stealing and cheating, that's not, I'm not judging. Hey, man, don't judge. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, God has so much better for you, but you stuck there, and this is where you are, and you're comfortable there. And that's dysfunction. It's just like the children of Israel. They got comfortable there. And they died right on the spot. That's what the word says. They died right on the spot. It was just a trail. It said it was a trail of bodies from where they came out of the wilderness all the way up until the tip of the promised land of those that just died along the way. And the promised land was right there, and they never got there. They died in the wilderness. Five reasons. And so I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just saying God's promised us a life. And I get so comfortable in sin that I forget all about the life that God has for me. I get distracted by this dysfunctional world that I forget what God has for me. Bless you. And the first step, you and I must surrender and submit our will to God, which is the first step to living an abundant life in Christ. So here you are, you're 40 years in the wilderness, right? And you never get to the promised land. It's like going, let me make it plain, all right? It's like going on a job interview for 40 years and never getting the job. You interview for 40 years, and then you get there, they say, we're going to hire somebody else, and then you die. Ladies, it's like being pregnant for 40 years. And I knew you could relate. We can't relate, but we can relate to the job. But ladies, it's like you're pregnant for 40 years. And right before you give birth, you die. They're like, I walked around in this desert for 40 years and I can't even have this baby. Nope. 40 years and you die. Okay, let me get my youth. Youth, it's like you go to school for 40 years. You guys going to college. You're going to go for 40 years and you're never going to pass a class. We're not going to even mention graduate. You're not going to even pass a class for 40 years. And you get kicked out and die. Academic probation for 40 years. Never pass a class, you get kicked out and die. He's like, but I was so close to passing the class after 40 years. Too bad. And it's not the stuff that we're doing, it's the complete life in Christ that we'll never experience. And we get comfortable. All right, so let me just... Okay, I got a few more minutes, so let me just... Like I said, it's the link sausage. We cut off, we'll pick it up next week. The five things I'm telling you, you don't want to miss, because it's the same five things that keep us jacked up and in the wilderness. It's ridiculous how there's nothing new under the sun. Folks think they got it going on now. Trust me, they had it going on back then, and they died in the wilderness and never got to where God was taking them. Don't let this world deceive you. All right, so here we are. Moreover, verse 1 Corinthians 10 and 1. Here's Paul talking to the Corinthians, talking to the Christians at Corinth, talking to the church. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were passed under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Make a note. Paul is giving a history lesson. And Paul is saying, I don't want you to be stupid. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be misled. Underline how that all our fathers. So now that we are Christians, we are in the family of God. So this is our biblical history. So we got to make a note. Your biblical history supersedes your natural history. Or your worldly history. I'm gonna make it plain. And we read last week in 15, in verse 15, 19. Now, they just flashed that and then take us back. 1 Corinthians 15 and 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men and persons to be pitied. Christ transitions from this life to the next life. Your own personal history does not. You're not going to stand before God and say, well, I'm African-American, God, and I deserve to get it. He does not care about that. That we might be Latino or we might be Asian or wherever we're from. That's not our, that's part of our history, but that's not our history. I've had guys tell me, well, look, I'm black before I'm Christian. Okay. All right. And they'll go to a rally, but they won't go to revival. Do your thing. I'm telling you, the word supersedes your history. Paul is saying, this is our history now. As a Christian, your history has changed. You do not have to go on Ancestry.com to find out where you're from. Oh, I got to see where I'm from. I got to see what. Okay, so you find out you're from here, from this tribe, way back in Africa. So what? You're going to stand before God and go, God, you know, I found out I was from a. Okay, and? Okay, you found that out. That didn't. It doesn't transfer. Christ is the only thing that transfers. You can't take all your money and say, God, look, if I give you, slide you a few hundreds, can I get? No, it doesn't transfer. Your money doesn't transfer. Your worldly history doesn't transfer. Christ is the only thing that transfers. And you stand before God and say, God, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to look in your heart. He's going to see Christ. He's going to say, oh, that's my son in whom I'm well pleased. Come on in. It's the only thing that transfers. Paul is saying, I don't want you to be stupid about our biblical history. Don't get caught up in all this other stupid stuff. All our fathers passed through the sea because we're connected to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's part of our biblical history. We're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Make a note that God provided in the wilderness. Wherever we are right now, when we trust in God, provides. Verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual rock. Man, this is crazy. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Underline it, followed them, and that rock was Christ. Wait a minute. You telling me Jesus was with the children of Israel following them? And you thought you had some followers on your social media, huh? But look, make sure you make a note that your number one follower is Jesus Christ. And just like he was following them through their wilderness, as we go through, Christ is right there with us. Put that on your social media feed today. Yes. That Christ is following us. That's why we don't substitute the temporary for the permanent. Christ is the rock. The rock fed them. The rock gave them water. So make a note. I got to read this and I'm going to wrap it up. Oh, make a note. Proverbs 5. No, let's flash that. 5:21, Natalie. Proverbs 5:21. So if you don't think Christ is following you, make a note. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he considers, and he observes all his goings. Everything that we do, God is watching us, and God observes everything, all our goings, all our actions, all our thoughts. Oh. Oh, my. Well, Pastor, can you back that up? I sure can. Natalie, go to Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Let's make it even plainer. Last night, the eyes of the Lord was in your place, beholding the good and the evil last night. Amen. Amen. And here we are this morning. Praise the Lord. As if Christ isn't following us. Now, let's wrap this up and we'll pick it up next week. Let's go back to verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them. Underline that. Family, if you don't get anything else, even in the wilderness, God is with you. God sees you. Get through it so you can get to where God is trying to take you. And that rock was Christ. This is Paul breaking it down. Don't you forget it. The Old Testament was Jesus Christ concealed. The New Testament is Jesus Christ revealed. When you get into this word and you go through the Old Testament, like we've been doing on Bible study, Jesus Christ is throughout the Old Testament and live and in color. It is no question that it's the same God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I love conversing with my Jewish friends about that. And then they tell me, well, you know, I don't really study it. Like, why are you calling yourself a... And you don't even know your own. How do I know your word better than you?
Right.
It's another story for another time. It can't just be a name.
Right.
All right, so here we go. Verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were killed and left for dead in the wilderness. And that's the five things. That's where we pick it up next week. Y'all know I could go all day, but hey, we gotta get out of here. But just bow your heads just for a minute. We'll just pray and then we'll dismiss. Oh my God, Lord, we accept the challenge to not get caught up in this orderly system of deception, this mess of mirage that's pretending to be something that's really nothing, that doesn't transfer, it doesn't transition with us when we pass away. The only thing that stays with us is the one who's following us right now. And he's going to follow us right to heaven, and we're going to be in his presence. And he's going to say, this day you shall be with me in paradise. The only thing that transfers, not our education, not our good looks, not our race or culture, not our worldly history, although it's important, God, it doesn't transfer in your presence. Let us understand our biblical history, that God has always been with us. God has always provided for us. God will always be there. As the wilderness has exposed our heart, God, we confess and forsake anything that's not like you. God, we know we can't earn our way to heaven, but we want to live a victorious life while we are here. So maybe someone's here and you say, Pastor, my first step, I've never invited Jesus Christ into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. That's the first step. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be rescued, shall have abundant life. That's you, and you say, Pastor, I've never asked Christ into my heart. Elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I've been in this world. I didn't even know God had so much of a complete life waiting for me. I've been caught up in all kind of other stuff, and I'm kind of in the wilderness, just circling and eating the same grass, going nowhere. I'm pregnant for 40 years and have nothing to show for. I've been in this world trying to make it, and I'm going to miss what God has for me. If you need to rededicate your life, that's between you and God. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to stand up. You just talk to God heart to heart. Because that's who you're accountable to. You're not accountable to the pastor or to the church or to the people in the church. You're accountable to God. If you need to rededicate your life, the word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once you confess that sin, don't condemn yourself. Run to God and don't run from God. After you confess that sin, if you were to ask God, what was the last sin I committed? God would tell you he doesn't remember. So don't condemn yourself. Don't let the enemy condemn you. That's what Jesus died on the cross for, because we couldn't save ourselves. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we have the opportunity to rededicate every day. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you say, Pastor, I've been visiting and I'm looking for a church home, and from the worship to the word, I need a place where the word is plain and the worship is edifying. And the people love each other and they love God. I just need somewhere to be planted so I can learn more about God and grow in God. If that's you and you want to join with us today, just elevate your hand. We're family here at South Bay. We'd love to make you part of our family here at South Bay. We consider you family already, and you can make it official. Make a note, coming to church doesn't save you. You can be inside the church, just like Christ was with them, and they didn't even recognize it. God was with them and they didn't recognize, and they died in the wilderness. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like sitting in your garage doesn't make you a car. You got to be connected to Christ. That makes all the difference. But when you're connected with Christ, you do need a church home to grow. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. And we love you, Lord, for challenging us not to be the same, but to live a victorious life and experience all that you've promised for us. Bless your people, Lord. May they live and apply the word to their life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. God, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and we'll see you next week.